We are on. Okay, welcome. No, we won't start over. We're on verse 10 of chapter 6, 1 Samuel chapter 6, for those who are following along. And I just translated the first three words. So the men did thus. They took the advice. Va-yik-ku. What's the root? Very famous. Va-yik-ku. It's from lakach, to take. Lakach, the lamed. Acts as a first nun, like a first nun verb here. And they took shetei parot alot. Notice that that's two, the word for two, and it's in construct. They took the two cows, the para parot. They took the two cows, the alot ones, the ones that are giving milk, the milk cows. That alot is from the root ul. Remember we had that earlier in the chapter, ul, and it is a participle feminine plural. Just like from kum. Remember, the masculine singular participle of kum would be kam, masculine plural kamim, feminine plural kamot. So same thing. Al would be the masculine singular, alim, alot. And here it functions as an adjective modifying parot. The two cows which are milking or giving milk, or the two milk cows. Okay? Vayas rum ba agala. And they tied them, from asar. Everybody see that? And they tied them, namely the cows. Notice how the ending, the suffix, does not stay feminine, it goes to masculine. As is common, you kind of have that gender neutralization sometimes, and it tends to go towards the masculine. Okay? And they bound them to the, or on the agala, on the cart, the et benehem, and their young uns, the young little ones, the calves. Notice it's b'nei, but you wouldn't translate their sons. You would say their calves. Kalu, they shut in the house. Kalu is from the what root? You can know it even if you don't know this. Just from the ending. Kala, third hay, because the hay drops off, and you lose that third vowel letter. So call, perfect. And they shut it in the house. Okay? Any questions about verse 10? Right, good. Verse 11. Vayasimu et aron Yahweh el ha'agala. And they put, from seem, call perfect, and they put et aron, the ark of the Lord, el. Notice, remember, we get this constant switch between el and al. And they put it on the cart. Okay? Ve'et ha'argaz. Does anyone remember what that word is? Argaz, from before the break? And the argaz, the box. Remember the box had the gold stuff in it? And the box, and et akbere, the mice of the gold. The mice of gold, the golden mice. Okay. And et the zalme, remember this is the construct form, construct plural of zelum. And the images of their, techorehem, of their boils. So I don't know what that looked like. And the image of their boil. So they put all those things on the cart. Alright? Questions about 11? Alright, good. Following along. Vayisarna haparot vaderek al derek beit shemesh. It's interesting how the author emphasizes this. Vayisarna. This is interesting. This is from the root yashar. Yashar. It's the first yod to be straight. Notice it's very confusing because you have the dagesh in the shin. This is one of those words like yare. Remember the imperfect is yira with two yuds. Yira. Yare, yira. Remember the first yuds can either be like yashav and the imperfect would be yeshev. Or yara and you have yira. Or yatav, yitav with two yuds. Here you're supposed to have two yuds but the yud is dropped out. And you have this very strange form. Third feminine plural form, notice. And they went straight. So that's what it means, yashar, to go straight. And the cows went straight by Derek on the road. So they went straight on the road, okay, al Derek, on the road to Beit Shemesh. So notice how he specifies. It went straight on the road to Beit Shemesh. Now he says it again. Bimesila. Mesila is a word for highway. Okay. On Achad. On one road, one highway. So in other words, it didn't wander at all. So notice how he emphasizes kind of with three different expressions. The cows went on the way by Derek. Al Derek Beit Shemesh, on the road to Shemesh. Now he emphasizes again, by Mesila Achat, by one highway. Why do you think he emphasizes it like that?
So there's no doubt that Yahweh was the cause of
it. Okay, notice the implication then is that Yahweh was behind all this, so that there was kind of no doubt. There could be no doubt. So that notice that the author actually lingers on this thought and rephrases. See, he rephrases, so he's underlining. Rather than elaborating, he's underlining the thought. Notice. It's kind of interesting. Okay? So one way, halku, they walked. Okay, now notice this next expression. See that halok vega'o? Halok vega'o? Those are two infinitive absolutes. The one from halak, the other one you don't know from ga'a. A gimel, ein, hey. Remember, we've had this construction before where infinitive absolutes indicate continuous action. So here, it's quite easy. You would translate it walking, and then ga'a means to move, or to low, I guess, cattle low, or we'll say move. Okay? So it's walk and move, or walking and mooing. All right? In better English, you might say mooing as they walked. All right? See that? So I don't know why he puts that in, but I don't know. No doubt that they were cows. Okay. Now notice how he emphasizes it again. Velo saru yamin u semo. What's the root of saru? Again, it's pretty famous. Sur. Good. It's a hollow verb, a call, perfect third, masculine plural. And they did not turn, yamin, now you can guess what it is even if you've never seen it. They did not turn to the right, or semol, to the left. See, they did not turn right or left. All right. Vesarne pelishtim, and the sar, remember, sarne is chiefs or leaders, and the leaders of the Philistines, holkim, participle call, were walking acharehem, behind them. So they kind of followed them along. Okay. Ad gevul, until the border, gevul of Beit Shemesh. So they went, I guess they walked all the way to the edge of town. Alright? Very interesting passage. Any questions about verse 12? Any of the words or language? Alright, good. Verse 13. U Beit Shemesh Kotrim Ketzir Ketim Ba Emek. Okay. Now Beit Shemesh, and notice here, as you've seen before, when you have the name like this, it can be either the city or the people in the city. Like Mitzrayim can be either the Egyptians or Egypt. And so here you have the people of Beit Shemesh, Kotrim. What kind of verb form is this?
Kotrim.
Participle. So the people of Beit Shemesh were harvesting, katsar. Notice when you want to indicate progressive action, either past or present, in Samuel at least, the predominance is to use a participle. So notice he's talking about this kind of action ongoing. We would translate it with a progressive form. They were doing something. So notice Beit Shemesh was harvesting the Ketzir Ketim, the harvest of the Ketim's wheat, the wheat harvest. Ba'emek, in the valley. All right, so it's probably a beautiful day. They were all out getting the crops in. Okay? Va'yisu from Nasa. And they lifted up et einehem, their eyes. They lifted up their eyes. Vayiru, and they saw et ha'aron, and they saw the ark. Vayismechu, samach. You guys know what that means? And they rejoiced. Call again. These are all call verbs. And they rejoiced lirot, to see. Notice that this is a call infinitive construct from ra'a. The oat ending gives it away. And they rejoiced to see it. Notice you have to kind of supply the object in English. Okay. Questions about verse 13?
What's the samek on the side indicate?
Okay, the samek on the side, yeah. Those, you'll see the samek sometimes, and even if you go back far enough, you should see a big pei. But it depends. Those are two different reading systems. It stands for Seder, and it's the section, you remember that the Jews have the Torah divide up into sections for their Sabbath readings. So this is from one to the other. And so notice that there's, is that a, I can't see, it's too dark in here. Is that a Dalet under by it, the small one? Seder 4. So that's kind of where the fourth one starts. And I guess they're starting, if you went back a little ways, you'd see the next one should be a Gimel. Yeah, chapter 3, verse 20. So you have a Gimel by the page. So those are how
they... Each Sabbath they'd read from one...
They'd read from one to the other, yeah. Right. Okay. Good. Verse 14. The Hagala and the cart, Ba'a, what's the root? From Bo. This is a call perfect third feminine singular. You don't see it very much, but the subject is Hagala. And the cart came to Sede, the field of Yehoshua. The field of Yehoshua. Now notice this form. Beit HaShimshi. Notice that Yud, the Hirik Yud at the end. Remember, that's a gentilic. So that if you're from America, you're an American. If you're from Mexico, you're a Mexican. English, you're an Englishman. Canada, Canadian. Well, very often Hebrew forms the gentilic with the Hirik Yud. Okay? They came to the field of Yehoshua, a Beit Shemesh guy. I don't know how you would say it. A guy from Beit Shemesh. That's the easiest way to put it. Most translations just to say Joshua of Beit Shemesh to kind of get that point across. Okay. Vatamot, and it stopped from Hamad to stand. See, and it stopped there, Sham. Okay. Now here's this little other bit of information. And there, Shemen, Evan Gedolah, there was a stone, a great stone. And there was a big stone there, so it probably marked some boundary or, you know, had some significance to it. Okay, Vayevaku. Everybody see the root of Yevaku? From Baka, means to cut. Here's a PL, Ba consecutive, imperfect Ba consecutive. And they cut at Atze, the trees, it's in construct, because it's wood, and it's emphasizing individual wood. See, even in English, we wouldn't say woods, we would say wood, okay, but they use the plural. So they cut up the wood of the cart, the et haparot, and the cows, he'elu. What verb form is that? And the cows, he'elu. From Allah, and it's a hifil, see? It means not to go up, but to offer up. So notice the word order here. You have... they cut the wood object of the cart, and now notice the object is fronted, and the cows they offered as an ola, as a burnt offering, ladonot, to the Lord. Okay? Good. Questions about verse 14? Alright, we'll do a couple more here. Thanks for coming, you guys. Verse 15. Vehalviyim horidu et Aron Yahweh. Now the Levites, this is a hifil horidu from Yarad. A hifil perfect, it means to go down in the call. In the hifil then, what would it mean? If it, in the call it's intransitive. In the hifil, what does an intransitive verb become? It goes from intransitive to transitive. So it takes a direct object. Rather than to go down, it means to bring down. So now the Levites had brought down et Aron, the Ark of the Lord, namely from the cart, I would imagine, and et ha-argaz, and the box, which was with it, which, bo, in it, were the kalei zahav, which in it were the golden objects, the vessels of gold, literally, okay, vayasimu, and they had put it El Ha'Evan. Again, here's an L. They put it on the rock, the great rock. On Shei Beit Shemesh, and the men of Shemesh, He'elu, had offered burnt offerings by Yizbehu, and they sacrificed sacrifices on that day to the Lord. Okay, now, there's just one thing I want to show you here. If you go back to the beginning of verse 15, there's two ways to understand the sequence. See, it could you could take all of this as temporal, one thing right after the other. In other words, the cart stopped by the great stone, then they cut up wood, then they offer the cows as a burnt sacrifice, then the Levites brought the ark down, which, you know, it's a little harder. You have to say, well, where'd they bring it down from? But they brought it down from, I don't know, the rock or something. And then they offered more sacrifices, see? You could understand it like that. Most translations just kind of leave it open and leave the impression that that's what it is. Another way to understand it, though, notice that verse 15 does not start with the vav consecutive imperfect, which you would expect if it was just a succession of actions. Does everybody see that? So it could be, and you see this very often in narrative, that, you know, in verses 13 and 14, the author kind of summarizes the whole day, gives the action, and then he backfills it. See? So he wants to make sure that it's not like the people from Beth Shemeth just kind of sacrificed on their own. So he kind of states that the sacrifice was made, and then he goes back. That's why I translate it with had brought down, to indicate that the action in verses 15 and following doesn't take place after the action of verse 14, but as a further explanation or background filling in. I think that's probably a better way to take it. And we, you know, pay attention as you read narrative for that kind of thing happening. Okay? Does everybody see what I mean by that? Okay. We'll do one more verse, verse 16. Vachamisha, and the five. Now notice, here you have a number that's not in construct. And the five Sarnei Pelishtim, and the five leaders of the Philistines, Ra'u, saw. Vayashuvu, and they returned to Ekron. Notice they went back again to their own city. And again, notice no prepositions, no directive hey. We've seen that a lot. It seems to be a very common stylistic feature here. And they returned to Ekron by Yom Hahu on that day. Okay. Questions up through this point? Okay, good. It's a good place to stop because you have the paragraph marker there. All right, good. Thanks for coming in on